The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Andrew Brandt on board on today's show, the business side of sports. Andrew Brandt, early in his career, was under David Falk. David Falk has been featured prominently in Last Dance. Andrew Brandt was like an understudy to Falk when they had Michael Jordan. So we'll have some Michael Jordan talk in Last Dance. But I also want to get into the business of sports side with Andrew Brandt. He's really, really dialed in. He was in the Packers front office when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. So what does he think all these years later with Green Bay? And there's so many Packer fans here in the Valley and across the great state. We will talk with Andrew Brandt about that, where sports would be with these commissioners and how they're all handling their news. So a lot to get to with Andrew Brandt. That comes up here in about 15 minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Guys, that is with life insurance. As you're sitting in your home offices, as you're quarantining, some of you may be back at work, but most everybody has one of these. All you have to do is log on to SagicorNow.com. Check out this plan called Peace Assured. Peace Assured is something that's very important. You have life insurance, you have Peace Assured. If something were to happen to you and you have expenses for when you're no longer here, your life insurance is there for you. Maybe Peace Assured is something you should look at as well for the cost of the funeral. All right, stuff people don't like to talk about, it all happens. Last time I checked, none of us get out of here alive. Make sure you log on and get your free quote at Sagicor Now. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Andrew Brandt comes up in about 10 minutes. Eric joins us via remote. You were in Prescott last I heard. You've had this cabin in Prescott for how long now? Is that like a family deal? Or?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. My mom reminded me yesterday during one of our walks that we are approaching 40 years with that cabin. 40 this summer. It'll be 40 years.
I've spent exactly one night at that cabin.
Yeah.
In 40 years. And it's pretty damn cool. It's in the middle of nowhere. Like, nowhere. Like I say, Prescott, you can't even see Prescott. You don't even know where you are. You could be at the end of the world where that cabin is. But it's a good time.
It is a good time. And it was nice to see my parents from a somewhat socially distant place.
Yeah.
So, it was nice. It was nice to reconnect with my family a little bit.
So Mother's Day went well. You're whole, as we like to say, with mom. Mom is good.
Yeah, everything's good on the parent side.
So. There you go. I had everybody over.
I saw
And I found a way to convince my kids that, you know, your mom is really taking up golf, so let's go get her some nice clubs. So the people at Ping, and we got some clubs from Ping, and they showed up, and they did a great job of surprising her, and we are whole, as we like to say.
Good.
So far in, I need a roadmap to get out.
Good.
As we like
that's,
to say.
Hey, that's the way it should be.
It's the way it should be. On the sports front, so did you see Peter got to Dr. Fauci? And he's making all sorts of news. Our guest, our insider, our analyst, we say that half jokingly, but Peter King is with us often on this show. And he decided to go get Dr. Fauci, and he got it. And he has all these people pissed off at him because Dr. Fauci's like, yeah, if a player tests positive, that's one thing. If four guys test positive, you got to quarantine the whole team. And now these people are like, oh my gosh.
It should surprise me that Peter King found him, but it doesn't surprise me.
No.
I mean, you talk about being well connected, and as you said, in the what'd you say, in the know or in the good or whatever.
Yeah, that's good.
He is about as in the good over the years as you can get. So good for PK.
Yeah, and so he found him on Saturday afternoon, and wrote this long column about where we are with the NFL. Like the NFL has gone out, and. Because this has all happened in their offseason, it's been great for them. They've owned the market along with Last Dance. Last Dance and NFL. That's it. That's all that's going on. But now there's this, well, are we really going to get back to football or not? And Dr. Fauci left open some ways that we could see football out on the field, in even with fans and stands, social distancing. But he also went the other direction. And people just want to hear that now. It's like, okay, we've had all these other sports, but gosh darn it, if we miss football, then who knows where we're going to be. And those fans are starting to come out of the woodwork. It almost feels like people are pushing the players. It's almost like, yeah, you guys got to go play, and not even really taking themselves into account, from my view.
And I think the NFL has been the most liberal when it comes to, you know, kind of going out at the edge of the dock and looking over and saying, yeah, we're gonna do this. So don't worry about it. We got this. It's right. Okay. Like over the weekend, the UFC had a great weekend because it was the only thing that was going on. They did it in front of zero people, but I didn't see it, but I saw on Twitter it got a lot of buzz. I mean, there is borderline starvation, Brad, right now for any sort of live sports.
But you go over to the other side of it, like Adam Silver, to me, of all the commissioners, has handled this appropriately. The NFL is just doing what they see from a business standpoint. Roger Goodell hasn't really had to do anything yet because games haven't come into play. So, but what the NFL has said is, we have blood in the water. We are going to, every day, we're going to drop news. Every day. And teams are going to drop news every day. And they're going to spread it out so that every day there's something there. And I get the insatiable appetite. I really respect Adam Silver, though, in the way that he's handled this. Rudy Gobert, positive, we're done. We're out. And then, well, when are we going to get back? When are we going to get back? Friday, Adam Silver met with the players via conference call. And we're not going to be back in May. We're not even going to talk about coming back yet. We may be back in June. He talked about 51% of the revenue goes to the owners. Okay, 49%, wow. Eric, goes to the players, 49%. Adam Silver said on this call to the players that have leaked it out that 40% of the revenue comes from fans, 40%. So it's not just tickets, it's merchandise, it's everything. So you take that 40% off the table. And instead of saying, well we got to get back out and play, like to think that players aren't going to a high school gym where there's like a brick that keeps the door open to the side, to think that's not happening, really naive.
Really naive.
To think that these guys, some of these guys, they have basketball courts at their house. To think that they're not doing games at their house, really naive.
I mean, even to localize it, Brad, I don't know how it has been down in the Southeast Valley, but here in the North Valley, you're seeing more cars on the street. People are kind of, I don't want to say be changing their habits, but I think they're slowly starting to get out of their house a little bit more, go out on the roads, go to the grocery stores, things like that. And these athletes have, like you said, they have to be chomping at the bit. I mean, they just want to play a pickup game and get some run in and get a burn and do all that good stuff.
Some of them. But if you're on a team that's out of it, like I saw where Shaq said they should just cancel the whole season. And I understand where Shaquille is coming from on that. Steve Kerr has already said it feels like the offseason of the Warriors.
Right.
People have been asking if Kevin Durant is going to come back. Like again, it's I know you guys want to see your sports. It's kind of like the people that say, well, I'm not going to go to Costco because they're forcing me to wear a mask in my rights. But, man, I want my players back on the court. I want my games. I might want to go to Costco, and I do, and I proudly put on a mask because I have parents that are older. Oh, you're fearful. We just need our sports back. Get back out on the field, you guys. Even down to the high school end of things, there's some. And we do some high school here on the show. For those jumping in and checking us out for the first time, we'll do high school, we'll do college, we'll do pro. I think that Arizona State has handled everything very appropriately. They can't be around players. To think that players aren't going to parks and working out, that's pretty naive. To think that there aren't players because they've been told by their quarterback gurus, don't post anything on social media. But then I get the dads who said, yeah, we had 15 quarterbacks over this field. Come on. And they had wide receivers to throw to. Okay, so you had 40, 50 kids out there. You guys are just trying to hide it. It takes just one or two kids to get sick, and all of a sudden, where are you at? I just feel like that there's a side of society to what you're saying, Eric. There's a side that's saying, oh, this is no big deal. I'm just going to go back. I don't care if someone wears a mask or not, but please respect my social distance. Please respect my social distance. Please respect my situation. I'm willing to go into a Target. I went to a Target the other day, and it was overflowing with people that weren't wearing masks. We were clearly the minority. If you don't wear a mask, I'm not going to be mad at you. Just don't get right up in my face.
Sports fans want to live on both sides of the street. Like they want to sure. live their life the way they want to. But oh, yes. you're a professional athlete, so you need to go out and play. Well, because you are my source of entertainment. You are what keeps yes. me be going yes. on the weekend. Yes. It allows me to hang out with my friends and do yes. social things at the house Bet. And watch games.
Drink.
Bets, drink, food, all of that.
Yes.
That's not a me problem. That's a you guys problem.
No, but so like Adam Silver, to his credit, has said, we don't want to go have mass testing and take away from people that can't get tested. That's not PR. Some people are, oh, that's PR by the... They're losing a lot of dough. I know yeah. their television contract can cover a lot of it, but I fully respect a commissioner who's willing to say, yeah, we don't need to get back for 6 more weeks. If they're not testing for everyone out there, why would I take my employees and say, yeah, we're going to go get tested when the people down the street can't go get a test? That's one, that's bad PR. Two, that's just not the right thing to do. That's why I think Adam Silver has handled everything correctly so far. It's not like there's a playbook on this stuff. So, and then today, before we get a break here for the Andrew Brandt, Rob Manfred today is addressing the season. I feel like Rob Manfred has kind of been in over his skis a little bit with baseball. I feel like the baseball purist is going to lose their minds if they have a robot or they have technology behind home plate as they're talking about doing. They're going to lose their minds over this. They're going to have an umpire at first. They're going to have an umpire at second. They're going to have an umpire at third. But the home plate will be technology. The fact that there's going to be a DH in the National League, if this gets pushed through today, there will be the purists that will lose their minds.
Deal with it.
He's unveiling his blueprint today. And you know what I know, baseball's been trying to figure out all sorts of ways to make the game more consumable. This is the year to do it. This is the year to. This is the year. Let's try everything and anything.
And honestly, and Brad, they have the biggest hurdle to overcome because there's so many games, so many different venues, so many different things that are happening. It's just crazy to think about that.
All right, we'll take a break here. On the other side, we'll have Andrew Brandt with us from Sports Illustrated. On the business side of sports, also Last Dance. He was with David Falk back in the day with Michael Jordan. That's next. Welcome back. Many times I've mentioned our next guest's name, and that is Andrew Brandt with Sports Illustrated, the Business of Sports podcast with Andrew Brandt. You can go to andrew/brandt.com. He has plenty of business content and really deep dive insight on a number of fronts, a former front office executive in the National Football League too. But his podcast that's up this last couple of weeks has been with David Falk. And we've seen David Falk featured prominently in Last Dance. I wanted to start the conversation there. The next voice you hear is Andrew Brandt. It's Brad Sussmat. Andrew, thanks.
Good to be with you, Brad, and I appreciate the this nice intro.
It's great to have you on board. Let's just start first and foremost with the deep dive that is The Last Dance, and through it just from a consumer side, how you've consumed it, and the business side and what you've seen in Last Dance.
Yeah, I started my career working for David Falk, who was and is now 36 years the longtime confidant and agent for Michael Jordan. So, I mean, I can say, I guess theoretically, I was Michael's agent back in the day, but I really worked for his agent, and that was quite an experience, sort of seeing what was going on and the maturation of Michael. This was the early years before what we're seeing on The Last Dance now, probably in the late 80s, just as the run was starting in the beginning of the 90s. And all the things we're seeing on the documentary, I was party to in terms of the close relationship with his father, the guiding force that was his mother, the closeness of his brother Larry, the closeness he had to the UNC program, and then just starting to see the real intensity that he had as a competitor, as a teammate, as he was coming up through the ranks. Again, I didn't see a lot of that early in his career because he was not in a position to do that, coming in as a rookie and a young player. But obviously all that changed. So I'm now consuming it as everyone else is. And it's interesting because I have sons, teenagers, who obviously didn't see any of this. You know, they don't know Michael Jordan as a consumer, but they're intrigued by this too. And it's really spanning generations of people that never even saw Michael play.
What are they leaving out from your view, given your access and history? What's missing, if anything?
Yeah, the one thing is, and they showed this at his retirement press conference, sitting right next to him was his wife. He was married young, and there doesn't seem to be any. You see a couple of scenes with the kids, but not much about the marriage. And maybe that was off limits. I don't know. It's not a current marriage. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, that's the one thing.
In terms of the Nike deal, start to finish, is that how it went down? I mean, you always capsulate things in a doc, I think. You'd like to think that you could sum it all up in 15 to 20 minutes, whatever that segment of it was. But because you were there, was that really how it all went down start to finish, or were there several loops before? Because there was no Phil Knight. I didn't see Phil Knight anywhere in this. I don't know if I should have seen Phil Knight in this. So I'm just curious, did that part really get its fair play?
Somewhat, you know, and thanks for mentioning my podcast, because I brought my old boss on, David Falk, and yep. It's now up there, you know, the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. Two-part series now with David talking about it, and he talks about the Nike relationship in a way that doesn't get amplified in the documentary, really with kind of a Runyon-esque character named Rob Strasser, who was kind of handling all this for Nike, kind of a John Madden big guy that David Falk and him sort of created this Michael Jordan and Nike and Air Jordan and the whole thing where the shoes were banned by the NBA. You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes in that that hasn't really been discussed in the documentary, but so many stories with Nike. You know, it's the most successful athlete apparel brand in the history of sports. Mm-hmm. And you could do a whole 10-part series just on that.
Andrew Brandt with us again. His content is Andrew/Brandt.com and the Business of Sports podcast with Andrew Brandt. Of course, he contributes as well with Sports Illustrated. I'm leaving other things out as well. He's just all over the place. And as I mentioned, check out his content in Google search too. We're going to look back on this, Andrew. There was nothing else that's happened. I think I'm leading towards what the commissioners have done with this question. But just the last 2 months, the success of Last Dance and the NFL with what they've done from a business side, there's really been nothing else. And without Corona, would this have done as well as it has done?
The documentary, probably not. You know, we all are starved for sports, and I would include in that category the NFL draft, the NFL schedule release.
Yeah.
Anything, any tidbits from the NFL are scooped up like starving people. And, you know, what would be going on now would pretty much the same that would be going on otherwise with the NFL, albeit draft is virtual and workouts are virtual. But the NFL is so lucky compared to all these other leagues who would actually be playing games now and would be playing playoffs now, like NHL, NBA, and of course baseball. It's just, can you imagine if this pandemic took hold in November instead of March? Then it would be the NFL that is the one that's disadvantaged, and the other leagues can watch and wait and see what happens.
How have the commissioners in all sports handled this, and specifically about Manfred and Silver and Goodell and Bettman from your point of view? Have they all done it the right way?
I think so. It's just the watch and wait mentality in respecting the science. You know, again, I would think, like all of society right now, there are some people that would say, let's get going.
Yep.
And I admire them to sort of say, let's just wait. Even though as they're developing plans, I think on this date, we're still expecting some kind of competition in the NBA and in baseball and probably hockey. We just don't know when or how long, but I don't think anyone's given up on those three sports, and certainly not the NFL, because we're months away. But, you know, I'll focus on one commissioner, because I think when this whole thing started, it was really the Rudy Gobert game on March 11th kind of changed not only sports, but it changed the world. It just seemed like when Adam Silver shut down the NBA, that was a real clarion call for business, for government, not just sports. I just sensed that. And so I think maybe Adam Silver is the one we're looking to be the other side of it and say, okay, we're going to start basketball. Who knows how? But once he starts basketball, I think a lot of other things, people will say, okay, well, the NBA is starting. That means a lot can happen.
It feels to me, because I agree with you. I think Adam Silver has been the one that has been very measured in this, while I feel, and out here in Arizona, because the discussion about could we have baseball in a bubble, for lack of a better term out here, it feels like Rob Manfred is somewhat searching and grabbing to try to get back to games, whether they have robo umpires and all this stuff, versus Adam Silver saying, you know, we don't need to make a decision in May. We may not even make a decision until mid-June. And let's be measured, because we really do care about the players and safety. Yes, we're going to lose a boatload of money, but he's not out there with any sort of push, it feels like, Andrew, in let's get back and get at it. He's the one that's been the most measured.
Yeah, he has. And listen, the NFL has had all these press conferences about, you know, we're going. Schedule's out. And, you know, I think they need to probably be a little more measured. And, but on the other hand, you know, it's like the rest of the country. It's like we're fighting health versus economics. And in the economics, there are also some potential health detriments. So it's a tough one. You know, and again, the president has gotten on the call with the commissioners, I think, once or twice. And you feel like the president wants to get sports going, but it's got to be done right.
Andrew Brandt with us. Before I get you out of here, on the NFL front, so part of your history is the Green Bay Packers. You were in the draft room. You've been asked about it. You've written about it. But for fans out here, because this really is the Packers in Arizona, it's like hand in hand. I don't know if they just don't realize the Cardinals are a team out here, but the Packers come out and they take over the stadium. So give the Packer fans and NFL fans an idea of the Aaron Rodgers sitting there and Jordan Love coming in. You were in the seat when Aaron Rodgers came in, when Brett Favre was there. Make sense of it for Packer fans, and what do you think happens long-term with Rodgers in Green Bay?
Well, again, as I've written and talked about, it was deja vu for me 15 years ago to the day Aaron Rodgers was taken while we had a Hall of Fame quarterback. It was just amazing how eerie that was. And in that case, obviously, Brett had gone through his retirement rumors, and, you know, we weren't looking to take a quarterback, but it was kind of that best player available. And we kept Aaron on the phone 12 minutes, and no one made a trade offer, and we ended up taking him. And then it was 3 years, where Brett didn't, you know, it wasn't great coming into work every day with his replacement. Aaron, it wasn't great coming in to work every day, wondering if he'll ever play. And it was hard to manage, but we managed it. And now they'll go through that again. But now we're saying something I've never thought I would say, and certainly never thought I'd say 3 weeks ago, that there is an expiration date on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And I think that is 2022. So that in itself is just huge news.
No. It's really interesting to see how that all plays out and where it goes. Look, I appreciate your time and your insight. There's many, many more topics I could talk to you about, but I'll let you go off that. Thanks for the time.
You got it. Good to be with you.
There's Andrew Brandt with us. You can check out his content at a number of places. The Business of Sports podcast with Andrew Brandt, andrew/brandt.com, Andrew Brandt with Sports Illustrated as well on the business side of sports. We appreciate his time, and we're back with more after this timeout. So Eric and I have not done the fastest game show in the West, known as How Many Wins and Losses Will the Cardinals Have, which you absolutely hate that game.
Everyone does it, though, Brad.
I know.
They were doing it on ESPN the night of the draft. I haven't seen you.
And I've got 10 wins for them. My card.
I saw that. It's
So Last Dance, okay. I feel like critiquing Last Dance, rather than just saying cake is good, yum, cake, eat cake, good, right? I'm kind of caught in between that because my daughter, one of my daughters who is 25, she lives in Chicago. She is back here. She's been quarantining with us. She's going to go back there down the road. She's completely hooked on Last Dance. Like, just sits there and doesn't look at her phone for 2 hours, which for a 25-year-old, that's impossible. She's completely into it and talking about it. She's got the volume turned up. She gives dirty looks to the others in the house. Like, I'm trying to watch Last Dance here. And I'm looking at this like, we've done docs here before at Sports 360. Obviously, we're not at the level where they're at with Last Dance. But we like to do things locally, and we would critique it. I read a really cool story on the producer and director on how they got the access to Jordan and how long the interviews were and how many crew members were there and all this and all that. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know, chill. Just take it in for what it's worth. Number 45 is not number 23. What a great quote that is.
Great quote.
The Gary Payton on the iPad. What a great moment.
Yep.
The Reggie Miller quote, the dude was a vampire. What a great quote that is.
Did you notice anything in one of the episodes that was sitting next to Michael Jordan during the interview? Did you notice something?
I noticed. No, go ahead. What'd you notice?
I noticed a very, very, very strong looking alcoholic beverage sitting directly to his right on a coffee table during a couple of the shots.
There's been a lot of that, though, hasn't there?
I hadn't seen it. I've heard the whispers of, oh, look at his eyes are bloodshot, they're jaundiced, blah, 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 blah. But I hadn't actually seen, like, a thing of scotch this big sitting next to him during the interviews. And I am not I'm appreciating them for what they are. I think the documentaries have been really good. I thought I could live without the baseball stuff because it just doesn't...
What? Are you kidding me?
I don't.
Eric,
I
that just, was here. They didn't include the Scottsdale Scorpions.
Terry Francona saying Michael Jordan could have played Major League Baseball. I almost was just like, we're just going to go ahead and fast forward through all this. And then
you don't believe
saying,
it?
And then him saying he hit 202. I'm like, no, I don't believe it at all.
Wow. That is hating.
The stuff on his dad, really good. The stuff
was
on
it
him
enough
just
on his dad though. Was it enough on his dad?
I didn't think so, but he's controlling the narrative of these. So I'm sure Michael's like, we're gonna do this little part on my dad, and then we're gonna do this big part on my baseball career, and then a huge part on me just killing Scott Burrell and Will Perdue and every other teammate that he had. But that's not surprising because you know why, Brad? This is what it reminded me of. Did you ever see I Hate Christian Laettner? Did you see that, Doc?
Yeah.
Christian Laettner used to destroy Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill. Like, just completely belittle them in practice. Why? To make them great and win championships. The great ones do that. So for me, seeing Jordan do that, not a huge surprise.
But do you think that there's going to be people that had never seen Michael Jordan that are going to say, well, I got to act like this, all of my teammates? and not really under, like, I look at Phil Jackson and all this and say, man, was he brilliant. Man, was he smart. Man, did he do things the right way. And he knew when to push a superstar. He knew right. when to, there was the moment where, I think it was episode 6, where Phil said, yeah, go play golf. And Michael was on a tee box saying, yeah, Phil knew we needed a break.
Right.
You know, and Rodman said, I'm going to Hooters. I just thought that was awesome stuff, right? And so the Steve Kerr punch out where Phil talked to Michael about it and Michael apologized and then had to get Steve Kerr's phone number to call Steve Kerr. You know, it's like all of it goes back to here we are with this little device now. And if this little device had been there back in the day, like there's a shot of him and Ahmad Rashad in a car and there's this big old phone, like Mike's bat phone that's sitting there. And it just takes you back to that's what it was like back in the 90s. Big old bat phone. Yep. So there's these like little nods to the past.
I thought the part where Scottie Pippen refused to come in at the end of the game, I completely forgot that that happened. You talk about Phil having to just juggle all these different personalities. Imagine that. You're a star player. We're not going to call the game-winning play for you. We're going to let Tony Kukoc have it. And him just saying, yeah, I'm good. You can just go ahead and do it yourself. I'm not even going to be in the game.
Yeah. And then come back and use him again.
Exactly. And right. have him get mentally right and have a great rest of the series.
But it feels like that the haters of Jordan have started to come out more. And I know it's easy when you can do 120 characters or whatever number of characters. I get it. We're all sitting there and people are very liberal about this. I feel like if they announce next week, you know, there's been such great response to this. We have a lot of stuff sitting here on the editing floor. We're going to have unaired stuff. It could go another 3, 4, 5. I've yet to sit there and say, please end this.
I got bored during the baseball stuff, but that's just me. It was nothing that I didn't know already. It didn't grab me. Most of this documentary grabs me. That stuff, I was just like, okay.
You know what they left out of the, what, you know what they left out of that documentary to me on the baseball stuff? Michael Jordan bought the team in Birmingham a bus, and he bought them a bus, and he had the bus tricked out. So there was like a bar in the back. It was like, it wasn't just like a bus. It was like, and Michael tricked it out for them. And I would have liked to have seen the bus. Have liked to have seen a nod to the Arizona Fall League. We did this first game. It was Mark Grant and myself. We were there that night. It was crazy. It was like the biggest thing going on in Phoenix that MJ was playing baseball for the Scottsdale Scorpions. Our buddy Mark Beasley sent out a tweet about how they were at Bobby McGee's dancing. Michael Jordan was at Bobby McGee's over on I-17 dance. Wow. Like, I would have liked to have seen some of the, this is where he first went. What Andrew Brandt said in the last segment about not seeing anything with his first wife. Not seeing anything at all with wife and kids. And reading about how the producer and director were given three segments to film. The third segment was supposed to be a lifestyle. What's Michael like fishing? What's Michael like on a golf course? And rightly so, the producer and director said after the first two interviews, screw that. We need more deep dive stuff from him because we're only going to get one more bite at the apple. So they got rid of all the fluff stuff and in my opinion, drilled down. The people that think this is a puff piece all the way through, if it's a puff piece all the way through, then how is Sam Smith showing up? Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. If it's a puff piece, how is Isaiah Thomas having a spot there? Is Gary Payton having a spot there? I think it's been anything but a puff piece. The gambling side of it, for people who want to sit there and nitpick it, are you going to put somebody on that's going to give a 20-second soundbite saying, well, you know, when he went over here to this, this might have happened? Might have happened? If you have gambling slips, that's a different deal. They put Richard Esquinas on. They talked about the gambling. They didn't avoid the gambling, to me.
And I think, Brad, some of the fluff stuff is good because it sort of shows him as just like a normal person and not this amazing robotic basketball player that's just greater than everyone else. But like you said, I'd hate for them to spend like 30 minutes on him out fishing or him on a golf course. Like there's better content to be had in that.
Well, when they opened up, I believe it was episode 6, And he's on a couch on a game day, and he's smoking a cigar. It's probably a Four Seasons or some high-end hotel. I don't know if you remember the scene or not. But it's him on a couch. And it's him just saying, okay, yeah, this is my quiet time other than you guys being here. And then they show him getting off the elevator, and there's hundreds of people at the hotel. And then they show him getting to the arena, and there's thousands of people at the arena. And then they show him going out to perform, which is his job. And then afterwards, they show hundreds of people with cameras. And then they show people following him out to the bus. And then they show him back at the hotel where everybody's there to get a piece of him again. And that's how it is for a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes.
I thought one of the best shots from last night was after they lost to the Hornets. And he's at his locker. And he has a bat.
Yes.
And he's half swinging the bat. And he's smoking a cigar.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just so many different parallels in that one shot. He's in his basketball practice uniform, I think, or basketball shorts and a tank top, and he's swinging a bat, half swinging a bat, and smoking a cigar.
No, I mean, I feel like anybody who hates on this, and you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, we're not the biggest Jordan guys because we're not from Chicago.
No.
You know, me growing up in Southern California, I'm all about seeing Magic or seeing Kobe. Me being here in Phoenix for the last 25 years, I'm all about seeing Charles. I'm all about seeing Michael and Dan Marley. I'm all about seeing Ainge on the golf course betting with Michael. I'm all about that. But I feel like the critical analysis part is starting to take over with people, and it's just a little much. Like, sometimes guys just relax.
I mean, has it jumped the shark? Like, are we to the point now, we're going into the last two episodes, where people are just, I don't want to say over it, but just sort of looking for something to complain about?
I think there's some of that. I think there's some people just want to bitch. Some people just want to complain. So that's just what they do. They're just that way. And look, there's times I've not sat here yet and looked at that and said, man, this is crapola. I have not seen that. All right, before we get out of here, wins and losses. First of all,
okay.
Do we want preseason football? Do we care if their game at Green Bay happens, their game against the Chiefs happens, their game at Vegas happens? We don't care.
No.
We don't want preseason football. It is the biggest ripoff in all of sports. It is.
We want it simply so we can see football again. But after, like, the first half of the first game, like, I could care less about seeing the rest of the preseason.
First quarter.
Exactly.
All right, so let's just get right to it, then. They're going to lose at the 49ers to open up the season. They're going to be 0-1.
Yes, they are.
And New Orleans plays Tampa Bay at the exact same time.
I know. You're bummed.
I've got to be at a place... It's my man cave. I don't know. But Breeze Brady, first time, opposite Kyler against the 49ers.
And that game will not be locally televised because we'll get the Cardinals.
Yes.
So.
Which means we'll get the D team, E team, F team, G team.
I don't think so. I mean, it is the revamped Cardinals against the NFC champs. No, not, but probably like the number two or three team, I would guess.
All right. Washington at home.
Win.
I think they're 1-1. I agree with you. Detroit at home.
Win.
2-1 at home. Or 2-1. At Carolina. It's a win. They're 3-1.
I'm going to go win. Man. I'm going to go win.
At the Jets the following week.
I think they're 4-1.
They're 4-1. 4-1.
Especially since they're going to stay back east. Smart.
Then they have the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. It's a loss.
Here or in Dallas?
At Dallas.
That's a loss.
4-2.
Okay.
Home to the Seahawks.
I think that's a win. I'm going to go 5-2.
Loss. 4-3.
Okay.
Bye week. Home to the Dolphins.
Win.
You got 6 wins already.
I do.
All right. Buffalo, following week, home. It's a win.
See, I think that's a loss. I think that's a game the Cardinals should win. Buffalo was a playoff team last year. I think that's a game they should win, but they're not going to.
At the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, right after the Bills game, four days later.
That's a loss.
At New England, 10 days later.
That's a loss.
What?
I think so.
Come on, man. Chandler Jones going back home.
I think that's a loss.
DeAndre Hopkins, that's a win. They're going to win there.
Okay.
Rams.
I've got Brian Lewerke throwing for like 400 yards in that game against the Shutdown team.
Get out of here. Talk. Get out. Rams on Sunday, December 6th. That's a win.
Yes.
At home. At home.
Yes. Yes.
Following week at the Giants.
That's a win.
It's a win. I'm with you. So,
man, this schedule is looking good.
I know. And then
I think I have them as, what, four losses only for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they have the Eagles at home on Sunday, December 20th.
It's doable. I'm going to put it down as another win.
It's a loss.
Okay.
They're gonna trip up somewhere. It's like you said. There's just games where.
Of course.
It's the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, by the end of the year, this could be a Jalen Hurts game. Because Carson Wentz can never stay healthy.
Could be.
49ers following week. Home.
Loss.
I think they're going to win that game. I think they're going to be better.
It will depend on if one of the two teams is playing for something. Like if the Niners have already locked up the division and they're just kind of coasting into
all
the
right.
playoffs.
No, all right. I'll buy that. And then they finish the season at the Rams. I think the Rams are not going to be great this year.
I tend to agree.
I know people are saying, well, the Cardinals defense is not great. So you guys are getting all wound up about their offense. It's not being wound up. It's just a fact. DeAndre Hopkins is an upgrade over where they were. I think Kenyon Drake's an upgrade over David Johnson. I think Kyler Murray in year number two, I'm not going to be one of these nitwits that says, oh, he's going to be an MVP this year. No, right. We're not going to go down that path.
No.
It's not happening. Can they keep him upright? That's the biggest thing. You know, defensively, sure. But I've got 11. You've got 12. 12 for you.
I know.
That just never happens.
But think about it, Brad. Giants, Panthers, Dolphins,
Jets.
I mean, they're just, those are such winnable games.
Yeah, but you know, you could go the other side of the coin. They go to Carolina, and all of a sudden, you're sitting there and watching McCaffrey do 280 yards of total offense. You're like, what was I thinking? How did,
because
the Cardinals defense isn't great. So McCaffrey could go crazy, and I'm the one that's a fool on this deal. So, all right. We have things we've got to get to because we have our television show that we're putting together this week. Sandy's actually hosting this week. Sandy Charles is great. You are working on what today?
You and I have a conference call, I believe, after the stream show wraps up. And I have to tape AZ Audible shortly after that. We're putting the final touches, as you said, on the TV show for this week.
Yep. So. And we're efforting potentially a big Phoenix name.
There's one in the hopper that we're hoping comes through, but we're not going to jinx it, so you'll just have to stay tuned. That's the teaser right there.
That's a great tease. So go over to the website, sports360az.com, sports360az.com. That's our website, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Multiple airings every week. We've been doing it for 6 years. We are self-funded. Make sure you take care of those sponsors. Have yourself a great Monday.